Rainmaker FM.
CopyBlogger FM is brought to you by the all-new Studio Press Sites, a turnkey solution that combines the ease of an all-in-one website builder with the flexible power of WordPress. It's perfect for bloggers, podcasters, and affiliate marketers, as well as those of you who are selling physical products, digital downloads, or membership programs. If you're ready to take your WordPress site to the next level, see for yourself why more than 200,000 website owners trust Studio Press. You can check it out by going to rainmaker.fm/studiopress. That's rainmaker.fm/studiopress. Hey there, it is really good to see you again. Welcome back to a brand new episode of CopyBlogger FM, the content marketing podcast. CopyBlogger FM is about emerging content marketing trends, interesting disasters, and enduring best practices, along with the occasional rant. My name is Sonia Simone. I'm the Chief Content Officer for Rainmaker Digital, and I like to hang out with the folks who do the heavy lifting over on the CopyBlogger blog. You can always get extra links, extra resources by pointing your browser to copyblogger.fm, and that's also where you can get the complete show archive. So today we had such an interesting comment/question over on the CopyBlogger blog that I decided it would be a great idea for a podcast episode. And so I'm going to talk today about the question, about the answers, and about where the question comes from and kind of where our answer comes from. So I have to start by thanking JD, who blogs over at adobohamburger.com. And of course, I will drop a link to JD over on copyblogger.fm. So we started off with a post from our editor-in-chief, Stephanie Flaxman. And she wrote a post called How to Turn One Content Idea into a Fascinating Four-Part Series. And the idea was to take a single idea. So just as an example, she suggested a recipe for low-sugar grape jam. And taking that one idea and turning it into a series by digging deeper into the content and also into the strategy of how you're going to be in a relationship with that audience member. And so JD asked in a blog comment, he said, "This is interesting. The internet I know hates to wait for anything. Are you sure that this won't just frustrate an audience that just wants a recipe for a natural jam with less sugar and can find one in 100 other places?" So this is a really smart question. It's a short question and it has a long answer. I did kind of leave a multi-part answer in the blog comment, but I thought it was an interesting enough topic that it merited a little more discussion. So first things first, which is that how you think about this question and how you answer it starts with what the business model is for your website. So I am not, as a rule, a big fan of what some people would call monetizing a website. So people mean different things by that, but the thing that I'm not a fan of is putting advertisement onto a site that really doesn't have any other business purpose. You know, it's primarily, let's say, an entertainment site or a general information site. And so the only way to extract any monetary value out of the site is to put ads on it. Now, of course, this can be done. It can be done well if you're very savvy and you really know what you're doing. But it needs a lot of traffic if you're going to get anywhere. It's going to need a lot of traffic to be worth the time that you're going to need to put into it. And one issue, and actually JD hit on this, is that typically with that kind of site, you have a lot of competition. You know, JD mentioned you're competing with 100 other sites that might have that low sugar grape jam recipe. And very often people working in that model, they're trying to create a huge volume of content because they need lots of people hitting pages for them to hit any revenue goals at all. That often, I mean, not always, but often means that they're cutting corners on their content, which doesn't work well at all. And if you do manage to rank on search engines and you get some visitors, Very commonly, they'll leave as soon as they get what they came for. And sometimes they leave before they get what they came for because they don't feel like it's a good site. It feels dodgy or it just doesn't feel very useful. The other factor that we have to think about is our good friends at Google. So if you are answering a question that can be summed up pretty easily, then Google may show it as something called a featured snippet. Now, that can be a good thing because it does include a link back to you. It does mention your company name. But the downside is because the featured snippet just answers the question, it just answers the searcher's question and then they're kind of finished, very commonly there's not a need for that person to click through to the site. And as it happens, if I Google how to make low-sugar grape jam, I get exactly that. I get a featured snippet. So this one comes from the Kraft Foods Company with a recipe, a simple four-step recipe that uses one of their products. So the name of the product is visible on the snippet, but it's not included in the recipe the way that Google presents it. So Kraft in this situation has attempted to use content to sell their product, which is an ingredient in jam, but they've been cut off at the pass because Google has served the results. They've served the meaningful content without the person cooking jam actually going to the page and getting all of the information. So as I said, sometimes it's great and sometimes it's not so good. It is a subject of some considerable crankiness with business owners and with SEOs, but at the moment, it is what it is. Simple answers can be turned into featured snippets, and that can have disadvantages if what you're trying to do is pull people to your website. So a simple answer, a straightforward answer, is not necessarily going to get you business results, even if you're getting a good search engine position. So either way, if you can get enough traffic to monetize a site with ads, very often it's really worth your while to look carefully at the site and figure out what else could you offer those visitors that would be relevant to them and that would create quite a lot more revenue per visitor. So sometimes this is a smart affiliate offer, and this will work even if you're working with a pretty skinny commission. So for example, Amazon affiliates, the commission's, you know, not great, but it beats the, you know, teeny tiny little amount of money that you get when somebody clicks on an ad on your site. You get paid a teeny weeny little amount of money and they leave your site and they may never come back. You have no relationship with this person and no real opportunity to continue a relationship. So affiliate offers are a tried and true way to do it, but other people might have a premium information product. So for example, a course or a book. Or, of course, a lot of people will offer some service or consulting, something along those lines, coaching. Now, in Stephanie's example, the business model that she was, you know, pointing to was a bakery that sold, you know, healthy baked goods. So the content in that context existed to draw attention to what that bakery had to offer. And she was able to get some ideas on a deeper dive into that original simple idea, the recipe for the grape jam, by asking a critical question, which is, what else would my customer be interested in? And that is really how you can generate all the content ideas you're ever going to be able to use, is just by asking yourself that question over and over again. What else would my customer be interested in? And that's why orienting your content around values can be so productive. So, for example, if your audience on your website has patriotism as a key driver, it's a key motivator for, you know, how they get through the world, that opens up this whole range of things that those people might be interested in. I think you and I could both quickly come up with a whole bunch of things that patriotic people might take an interest in. And certainly lots of content ideas, right? Lots of angles, lots of metaphors and storytelling that you could do around that idea. Now, if the audience value is social justice, then you're going to come up with a different list. You're going to come up with a different range of things. There will be some things that are on both lists, but there are going to be things that are different to those two tribes, if you will. And you can come up with another list if one of the key drivers is faith or family or fun. So people who share values very often share specific interests as well. And the idea is to allow that to unlock all kinds of ideas for your content. So Brian Clark really kicked off a lot of this conversation with us with a post that I call the Who post, because the post slug for it is copyblogger.com/who. And of course, I will give you a link in the show notes if those words don't make sense to you. But obviously, you know, there are many different ways to approach content marketing. There are many different ways to approach content strategy. But Brian's belief and his observation, and my belief and my observation, is that the smartest place to start figuring out your content strategy is by really deeply, truly, madly deeply understanding who is it you want to talk to. And as it happens, I did record a podcast quite recently on that topic called How to Attract the Exact Customers You Want. So you can just go over to copyblogger.fm and take a look for that, or you can look for the exact link in the show notes. So when you know precisely who you're speaking to, you can branch out with a pretty good level of confidence to different topic ideas, and again, to different metaphors, to different kinds of stories that you tell, and you can have a pretty good feeling that they're going to keep following you, that they're going to continue to follow you where you lead and be interested in your business and increasingly interested in your business. You're going to know what language to use. What kinds of words does this audience use to talk about their, you know, their desires and their problems and their daily lives? And you know what they want, and you know what they don't want. You know what they don't care about. One of the most important mistakes to avoid with content marketing is trying to make the wrong people happy. So in this example, if there are people from, you know, across the country or across the world who just want a grape jam recipe, that's not necessarily a person who's going to become a regular customer of this bakery. But if you start throwing in maybe a local angle, you know, maybe you talk up some of the great grape growers in the neighboring county, or maybe you talk about the natural food scene in this community. Now you're creating a story that's specific to the person who actually can walk in the door and give you some money. And that person doesn't really necessarily want to just grab the recipe and run. They want to go further. They want to be part of something bigger than they are. I do think JD hit on or hinted at an important point, which is you don't want to just go on and on and on for the sense of putting words on the webpage. You know, that's not what we're talking about, because nobody wants to read it. Nobody wants to read a whole bunch of waffling around about kind of nothing. So you do want to get to the point. You do want to get to the recipe, right? You know, get your recipe going. But then you want to present another point. You want to say, if this was interesting to you, you might be interested in this other thing, this other part of the conversation. So here's another relevant, interesting, quick read. And that's how you make a site sticky. In other words, people who arrive stick around. They spend some time with you. Is that we keep offering concise, interesting, relevant little bites of content about the topics that they care about. And, you know, in a perfect world, we do that with an interesting voice and some personality, and with a really good sense of what's interesting to this customer. So that really kind of addresses JD's point, which is, yeah, definitely, you know, do get to the point. Don't waffle, but you're not going to worry that much about somebody who just wants a recipe and then leaves. You don't have to spend any time really thinking about that visitor, because that visitor is not your customer. And in the same vein, you don't worry about people who hate sweets and they don't know why anybody would eat jam because it's disgusting, right? That person's never going to come into the bakery, never going to buy a bunch of healthy donuts from you. So their feelings are, you know, they're valid, they're a person, that's fine, but their feelings don't matter to the business that you are running. They're just not relevant to you. And once you've been doing this for a little while, you can also learn to quit wasting mental energy worrying about the person who takes it further. Not only do they not like sweets, but they don't like you because you sell sweets. You know, you're a drug dealer, or you're evil, or you're pushing poison, or whatever it is. Because, you know, there's no person who is such a saint that there's not somebody on the internet who thinks they're a devil. It's just how it goes. It's how things are. So that can be a drag, and that can be, you know, your feelings can get hurt because some of those people are really, really mean. But time passes, and you really do come to a point where you realize that some random weirdo's opinion of you on the internet truly has nothing to do with you. You know, it's their little movie playing out in their head, and it does quit bothering you, which is a good place to get to. So there it is, long answer to a short question. Why don't we just kind of, you know, create a quick recipe that somebody can Google, grab, and go away? And the answer really lies in what are we doing with our sites and what's our purpose? What's our business purpose for the site and the content that we're building? So big thank you to JD for asking a thoughtful question. A plus blog comment there. And I would be very interested in your questions around this topic, around other topics. I would like to do another Q&A episode. So if you have questions that you would like me to answer, and we can talk about your website and link to you, then just drop them in the comments at copyblogger.fm. And I'd love to see what's going on with you. Thank you so much for your time and attention, and I'll talk to you soon. Take care.